Alison Hernandez. I'm at the finish of the Priority and Resources panel, and I'm here with Karen Jamette. She is a lady who often frequents our council meetings and is in the public gallery. She's always got interesting ideas, and I'd just like to ask Karen, why do you come along to these council meetings?
Well, it's strange, Alison, actually, because I started coming along when I was studying social policy. But after I graduated, I suddenly realised everything we studied at university was a direct and confrontational critique of everything currently happening in social policy. So I've been a little bit of an outsider looking in for a while. But what I do find really encouraging, especially today, listening to Richard Williams, for instance, who's the head of Children's Services, is actually taking the bull by the horns now and is a radical advocate of reform and doing things differently. So I think, you know, the tide is turning, so it is actually quite encouraging.
Yeah, we've just had Children's Services being discussed at the Priority and Resources panel today, and looking at where they are looking to do the cuts for the Mayor's budget. And like you say, Richard's certainly been trying to do things differently, and he wants to do it, and he would like to do it faster as well. I think that's one of the things. But in all of the meetings that you've been to, so we've had three of these so far, covering all different areas, what would you say, as a member of the public, looking at it, like you say, from the outside in, what are some of the things that have come out for you that you think maybe we could be doing differently?
I think it's such a wide remit, really. I mean, just in, I suppose, in summary, I suppose the things that I find most fascinating really is the fact that a lot of the fiscal cuts that are actually underway at the moment, there's a lot of emphasis on the financial management of the council, but I sometimes think we're missing a trick, really, you know, and I hate that term, but really the way that the cuts are being communicated. When you think particularly in terms of adult social care and a lot of supportive services, there are a lot of people that are actually caught up in these services who perhaps don't really want to be, you know, provided for. But it could just be an alternative to being unemployed. It's quite a complex area, and I don't want to go into too much depth about it because it's still a little controversial. But I do think that another example, actually, which we were talking about earlier, was with the library services. A lot of people are obviously protesting, and they're very worried about the cut, the sort of closures, the early closing hours that have been introduced, certainly in the last year.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought might be a good idea is if we start to listen to some of the people who actually pay council tax in the Bay, because a lot of them are actually paying the council tax and paying for things like library services, but because the libraries now close early, they're not actually able to go in and use the facilities. And I think perhaps a more flexible opening arrangement might be maybe a couple of days a week, open the library later, say, you know, from 11 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. And that way everybody has a chance to actually go and borrow books and use the computer facilities and all the other services that are available in the library. And by reconfiguring the opening hours, it wouldn't actually cost any more. And in Paignton, where I live, we have this wonderful state-of-the-art library that was partially funded by the lottery grant, which is now sadly closed at 6 o'clock in the evening. And it's a wonderful facility that could be used for lots of different groups and clubs and societies, and I think perhaps we ought to be a little bit more flexible in looking how to save money. I mean, a lot of people, you know, the library is currently open at 9:30 in the morning, and I don't know anybody that ever goes in at that time of day. So really, we should look more to opening the libraries when footfall is greatest, perhaps, you know, and usually that's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting because I'm a working mum, so I actually work Saturdays as well. So I work 6 days a week in my day job, do my counsellor work in the evenings and other all around that as well. And I think that I would never access the library because it's never open when I'm available. So I would tend to go to something like a cafe or a facility that is open at different times. And I think, like you say, maybe it's about thinking about how we're delivering that service differently rather than just cutting it and minimising what we're already doing, maybe completely reconfigure how we look at that.
I think it's also bearing in mind the fact that a lot of people are low paid and they don't really have a great deal of quality of life. A lot of people caught up in who are working long hours for low pay, perhaps paying over the odds for their rent and their utilities, and then to find that, you know, they can't even, they may not have broadband at home, and because of the fact that the library's now closed early, they can't even go in and you know, apply for jobs or apply for a new job or sort of read the papers online or do any of the things that we can do during the day.
I know that I've had residents that I've been helping which actually struggle to pay for the bus fare to get into town to access the services.
I walk everywhere.
And it's great if you could, if you've got the time to walk everywhere. And that's one of the challenges, is that the residents that I've had approach me have needed something much more local that they could walk to. We're out at Shippey with the Willows. You're in Paignton, and actually, if you could probably cope with a 20-minute walk, but you couldn't cope with a 45 to an hour minute walk each way.
It's funny actually, because you know, obviously, I've been out of work actually on and off this past year, and I make strange kind of comparisons now. And in fact, I often walk home from Torquay at night to Paignton, because I always work out on the assumption that the £2.50 I'd be paying stagecoach, I could actually probably get 3 nights of heating with the same amount of money. So you tend to look at things differently.
That's a really good point.
I know. So perhaps I can identify with some of the people who are having to make these financial decisions at the council, because I tend to look at that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, we've had citizens' advice being discussed today, and we were having a conversation, weren't we, about some of the cuts that were happening to citizens' advice, and the fact that also the council offer great services actually through connections and those sorts of front desk services. And you've witnessed the great advice that we offer, but it's a bit about how can we work better together to make things function, really.
Yeah, so I think it is a case of pulling together. In a way, it's a bit like having the same mentality that perhaps, well, not so much your parents, but my parents who lived through the war. There was
my grandparents then, Karen.
Okay.
But
I do remember I grew up in a post-war community in Kingstainton I was born in the 60s. I think, you know, the legacy of that kind of, you know, people pulling together and helping one another out was still very much apparent when I was young. And I think we've lost sight of a lot of that. And I think these cuts and all the austerity measures, in a way, do offer us an opportunity in some ways to try to rekindle some of that kind of community spirit.
Do you know, that's a really interesting point. My grandparents, they were waiting in the prefabs for the houses to be built in Heale. And I was out in Whatcombe yesterday meeting with residents of a sheltered housing scheme who were being affected by the cuts. And interestingly, one of those residents is fairly young for being in a sheltered housing scheme. He was only just 50, but he had severe disability with problems with his legs, and he was from Heale, and I said to him, oh, I wonder if you knew my grandparents, gave him the names. He did. I don't think, as the time is progressing, people will actually remember people in their community today like they used to years ago.
I do think that's sad in a way. I mean, I know that, you know, really, I mean, to be honest, not to be sound naive, there has been a tendency perhaps to not encourage too much static kind of, you know, rural. I'm not getting my words straight here. I mean, I don't really. I was kind of tempted to use the word interbreeding, but I won't.
But you know what I mean.
I mean, there has been a tendency to perhaps have a more of a transient mix can be helpful as a kind of as a way of driving cultural change.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think sometimes the way that it's been handled in recent years, it's made it worse in a sense. I think a lot of local sort of people have become, and even people who've only relocated here in the last 10 or 20 years, can become very insular themselves and very sort of protective to, you know, in terms of, you know, local interests. So.
I think that's why I'm really keen. Localism, you know, there's a big national government push localism and Eric Pickles is, you know, the advocate for it. Yeah. I'm really big on it. And that's why I think the way to bring communities together is to have things more localised where they live, to let people meet their neighbours, to be accessing stuff together in their area where they live. And I think that's where we haven't quite picked that up yet.
I think, you know, a lot of these policies will almost force the issue. It will make people be much more self-reliant and help and self-organising again in their local communities. I mean, I always tell this little story about my mother in King's Stainton when her and a group of housewives got together in the 1970s, and they suddenly the house used to be full of all this rubbish from jumble sales. My mother was obsessed with having all these jumble sales because they were trying to raise some money to build a swimming pool. And in a couple of years, they did it. And in fact, the King Stainton swimming pool was actually built due to all the money that my mother and the neighbours raised themselves. They had their own little swimming pool committee, and they used to meet at our house for coffee. And, you know, that was... That sort of thing
that's people power to it.
It is people power.
I mean, we've got the Geo Play Park in Paignton, actually, which is a result of people, local community people, coming together, working together, the Paignton Town Community Partnership, who leveraged £447,000 from the lottery funding and got that park built with major opposition from actually local councillors and also some other parts of the community. But what a success that's been, led by the community as well.
And I think that's really the way forward now, you know, and, you know, it's a case of looking on these things as an opportunity. I mean, I know it's going to be hard for a lot of people, but, you know, like I said to Councillor James earlier, the two of us walk around with holes in our shoes. Yeah.
Well, we won't even talk about my squeaky ones either that I've got.
But, you know, it's not really, you know, it's a case of just being realistic, you know, in terms of our economy and the level of debt we have as a nation. We just have to be much more realistic and live within our means. And I think it's just having, you know, this sort of thing is bringing the message home, I think, when it's happening at an institutional level. Yeah. That's the only way people will sit up and take notice, really.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me, Karen. It's been a privilege to speak with you for so long. And I hope to see you next week as well at the wash-up meeting that we've got, where we'll be pulling the final bits of evidence together.
I just wish they went so early.
all day as well. I mean, I'm trying to work whilst also being part of the meeting. It's quite a challenge.
Sorry.
Thank you.